Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Thursday, the 25th of August, year 2011. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today we'll talk with Odette Edgar and Susan Alexander about Sunday's Community Garden Harvest Fair. Singer-songwriter Buddy Tabor will be here to preview his Saturday music concert. We'll help out the Alaska Brewery celebrate 25 years of operation as they roll out their Perseverance Brew. And Nancy DeCherny will be here with news and views about local art during Arts Up. The forecast for tonight, rain developing overnight with low temperatures around 48 degrees. Forecast for Friday looks like more rain with high temperatures around 55 degrees. Saturday, cloudy skies with a chance of rain, and Sunday looks like a little bit of rain.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. One of the nation's largest tribes is once again denying citizenship to descendants of former slaves. As KGOU's Kurt Gortney reports, the Cherokee Nation says it has the right to define who is a citizen.
At question is the meaning of an 1866 treaty and the right of a sovereign nation to decide qualifications for citizenship. This week, the Cherokee Nation Supreme Court reversed a lower tribal court decision that set aside a voter-approved constitutional amendment denying citizenship to non-Native American descendants of tribal members' former black slaves, also called freedmen. The justice's opinion says the 1866 treaty between the tribe and the federal government never afforded freed slaves citizenship, but instead indicated they would be treated as equals to Cherokees under federal law. An attorney for the descendants of former slaves owned by tribal members questions the timing of the court's ruling. It came on the day before absentee ballots were mailed out to Cherokee voters in a special election for principal chief. That action means about 2,800 freedmen ancestors will now not be allowed to vote. For National Native News, I'm Kurt Gwartney in Norman, Oklahoma.
The Pine Ridge Reservation-based company that makes the Tonka Bar has won an award for sustainability and community development. Native American Natural Foods is based in the town of Kyle, South Dakota. It won an award from the Social Venture Network, which is an organization that includes businesses like Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream and Birkenstock. Charles Michael Ray has more about the company that makes buffalo meat products based on the traditional Lakota diet.
Native American Natural Foods uses organically raised buffalo in its jerky, sausage, and other meat products. The company employs 18 people. Most of them are based on Pine Ridge. Mark Tilson is the founder of the company and projects revenues will grow to $2 million by the end of this year. Tilson says the organization is committed to more than just profit.
When we make a decision, are we doing right by the buffalo? Are we doing right by the land? Are we doing right by the community? Are we doing right by our employees? And it isn't just what's the shortest shortcut to increase the bottom line.
Tilson says despite the company's rapid growth and broad success, it's still difficult for a reservation-based business to acquire loans. He says systemic barriers and government regulations are severely limiting economic growth in Indian country. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Nationwide demonstrations are being planned to protect a Native sacred site. Protesters are seeking to halt what they say is desecration of a sacred site in Arizona, the San Francisco Peaks. Demonstrations include one today at a regional Forest Service office in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Many individual Indians and tribes oppose the Arizona Snowbowl Ski Area's plan to use reclaimed wastewater to make snow. This summer, protesters were arrested in Arizona, including those who chained themselves to construction equipment. Tribes have been fighting development of the ski area for years. Recently, the Hopi tribe filed suit against the city of Flagstaff for the city's sale of reclaimed wastewater to the Arizona Snow Bowl. Protesters are asking people to comment on a Forest Service report on its policies and procedures for protecting sacred sites. Two cousins have been charged for causing a massive wildfire in Arizona. The Wallow Fire burned more than 500,000 acres in Arizona and part of western New Mexico before it was contained, including land on the San Carlos Apache Reservation. The Office of U.S. Attorney for Arizona announced Wednesday Caleb and David Malbouf were charged with five counts in connection with the fire, which was started in May. They're scheduled to make an initial appearance in federal court in September. Investigators say the Wallow Fire was started when an unattended, unextinguished campfire in the Bear Wallow area spread out of its fire ring and quickly spread in high winds.
We'll be right back.
During this week in 1960, the Cold Spring Rancheria in Fresno County, California, adopted an official tribal role. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. With funding by the Washington, D.C., Albuquerque, and Alaska law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Anderson, Miller, and Munson. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. First guests are here to talk about the Community Garden Harvest Fair, which is coming up this Sunday from 11:30 till 2 at the Community Garden. With Edgar and Susan Alexander, thank you for coming down to the station today.
You're welcome.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the Community Garden, if you could, please.
Yeah, the Community Garden was formed in 1993, and it's located out off of Montana Creek Road on the west side of the glacier. And it was, I think the Southeast Alaska Master Gardeners gave us a hand in getting the garden started. And it's a pretty good-sized garden for Alaska standards. It has about 160 plots. There's probably about 100 people that work the plots there.
Mm-hmm. And it's on city land, so the city's been very generous in letting us have this acreage to have everybody garden in that would like to have a plot in Juneau.
Has it gotten bigger over the years?
It's physically stayed the same size.
But probably the facilities there have improved a lot. I remember talking to someone who's been at the garden the entire time, and she said they used to haul their water for either from Montana Creek or bring it from home. But we now have a water system, a pump, and also a big giant tub with water in it. And we have piles of things that make great soil, like sand and brewer's hops and horse manure.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tools of different kinds, and anyway, our electric fence, that's very important for keeping the unwanted critters out.
What do people grow there?
Boy, you name it. People are really experimenting a lot. We've got fabulous things all the way from greens to carrots to potatoes. People have even grown string beans, which are hard, but you can do it. And we have a lot of divisions at the Harvest Fair this weekend that people can enter their produce and flowers and all sorts of things in if you want. You can bring things in from your own yard. You don't have to be a member of the garden. And if you want to bring exhibits out, the exhibits are entries are from 9:30 to 10:30, and the exhibit forms are available through Extension, which is downtown the Extension office, or out at the garden in the shed. And things that people enter would include vegetables. There's a whole class of vegetables. It includes like 40 different kinds of things you can put in and are in an other category if you have an other that's not listed. Potatoes, if you have a greenhouse, we have a separate category for greenhouse things. We have a largest and unusual category. We've had some really funky vegetables out there in our largest and unusual category, kohlrabi that get to be 4 feet long, and icicle radishes. One year, one kid grew one that was, oh my gosh, probably almost 2 feet long. It was the biggest radish I've ever seen. And we have a herbs division. We have fruits and harvest baskets, flowers, perennials, prepared foods, we have pickles and relishes, garden plots. We give out some awards for the best and most aesthetic and that sort of thing. And if you're a photographer, we have a category for photographs. So everyone's welcome. And like I said, if you want to enter an exhibit, you need to have the exhibit out there at 10:30 at the latest. That's when they take the entries, and then the judging goes on from there until, I think, about noon.
Could you tell people where the community garden is?
The address is 5669 Montana Creek Road. But what that means is you go out just past the gun range. It's basically just past the gun range on the left.
Why do people participate? It seems like the number of dollars per hour would be cheaper just to go to the grocery store and get a bag of lettuce.
Yeah, but they don't get those fresh carrots.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of therapy in gardening. It's really, I just love going out there and pulling weeds. Mm-hmm. I call it my weed therapy, and do it a couple of times a week. And it's just a lovely place to be. It's a pretty good sized open flat area. And so when the sun is out, you actually get sunshine, and there's always birds singing, and it's just a lovely place. And then there's all these other folks around your garden plots that are fun to talk to and will share their ideas about gardening with you.
Yeah, and you can see what other people are growing. And even if you're not a member of the garden, you're always welcome to come out there and walk around and look. Don't pick people's stuff, but come around and look and see what people are planting and growing, and it gives you some ideas for your own place.
What about pesticides?
We have a organic rows and semi-organic, so pesticides are frowned on unless they're some kind of organic pesticide. You could use something organic.
What about slugs?
Some people don't like slugs, and some people have slug bars. And
you mean they serve beer there?
Yeah, you can serve beer to the slugs.
We were discussing this earlier. What kind of beer do the slugs enjoy most, you know?
Well, you know, I think Alaska Amber is a big component, but you maybe we'll have to do a study.
I've been talking to Edgar and Susan Alexander. We've also been talking about how you cook slugs.
How do you cook slugs? I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. How about you, Adair?
I'm not, but why don't you tell people about the anesthetic properties of slugs and how you know about them?
Oh, well. Slugs, the slime of slugs actually is an anesthetic. And I can't remember who told me this, but I used to teach outdoor school for sixth graders, and I had them touch a slug with their finger and then put their finger on their tongue to show them that their tongue went numb. And then I'd give them little stickers for, I tasted a slug. Of course, totally voluntary, and I don't know if I'd recommend it to everyone, but that definitely proves that slugs are not really palatable, although ducks like them.
Don't try this in your house.
Don't try this at your house.
Try it at somebody else's.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, speaking of kids, we do have any of the exhibits. There's a kids category, a youth category, and so we really are encouraging young gardeners to enter their items in the exhibit part of the fair. We also have kids activities, and one of them, the most popular, and this is for kids of all ages, is the chicken poop bingo. And we have a family that brings their live their chickens out, and they feed them, and then they put them in a pen with a grid underneath, and people sort of take their best guess about where the poop is going to land, and it is really fun. It is just a favorite out at the garden at the Harvest Fair.
It's going to be up this Sunday starting at 11:30 and going until 2 in the afternoon. Can you be a little bit more specific as far as the schedule of activities?
Yeah, things for the public start at 11:30. So that's when you want to come out, and that's when the farmer's market opens, and that's a place where people at the garden donate items from their garden, from their plots, and that can be lettuce, carrots, zucchinis, herbs,
potatoes,
beets.
All kinds of things.
All kinds of good things. Maybe even some rhubarb left. And herbs, and those things are for sale. And they are always popular. There's always a big rush on the farmer's market when it opens at 11:30. So that's one of the things. And then we also have food sales that open 11:30. So when you come out to the Harvest Fair, you can have lunch. And we have homemade chilies, and we serve hot dogs, corn on the cob, and then homemade desserts. And so that's a very tasty lunch while you're wandering around. And we're going to have a balloon artist there tying balloon animals for us. Thank you, Jeff.
He's full of hot air, I heard.
And at 12 o'clock, the exhibits open. So all of the things I mentioned that people can come out and have as exhibits, those open. So you can go around and see who won what prizes. And like Odette said, there's each of those divisions I mentioned earlier, the vegetables, largest, unusual, all that, kids are not competing with adults. They're competing with other kids. So we have a whole separate set of prizes for the kids, too.
Well, last year I entered some beets in the exhibit, and I won second place, and I was just absolutely thrilled. There were only two entries in the beet department. but never mind.
It can't be those odds. We're talking about the Community Garden Harvest Fair at the Community Garden on Montana Creek Road this Sunday from 11:30 until 2. If people are interested in becoming members of the Community Garden, how can they do that?
We'll have a table out there, and we have membership forms, and somebody can talk to you about, if you're interested in having a plot, talk to you about what plots are available and what the kind of rules of the road, what the different guidelines are for how much, how high things can be, and how much volunteer time you're supposed to provide. It's still 5 hours.
5 hours, yeah.
So any garden member with a plot is required to contribute 5 hours towards some kind of event. We have a lot of events through the year. We have a barbecue, and we have different maintenance things that need to be done. So there's a lot of opportunities for volunteer work. And, of course, being a community garden, it completely depends on all 100% volunteer work to get all our work done. Just this afternoon, my husband was out there cutting trees off the fence that blew down. So there's always something that comes up.
Yeah, we do have an electric fence around the garden, which is one of our amenities.
So hopefully your husband turned off the power before he started cooking.
Yeah, he's pretty clever that way.
I've been talking to Odette Edgar and Susan Alexander. You give food to the glory hole?
Yeah, we actually give several of the plots are dedicated to both the food bank and the glory hole. And so we have every year several hundreds of pounds of potatoes and often other things like carrots and lettuce and whatever people are willing to grow in the community service plots that we donate. So we're quite heavy contributors actually to food bank.
All right, Susan Alexander and Odette Edgar, thank you for coming down the station here and talking about the Community Garden Harvest Fair. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Well, it's rain or shine.
Yep, and we have a shelter.
Yep, that's right.
Good
a lot of it, most of it happens under shelter.
Yep.
But we all know about rain and living and enjoying yourself even if it's raining.
Yep. Well, thank you for coming by.
Right,
you're welcome.
Thank you.
Was just a garden in the rain, close to the little leafy lane, a touch of color needs skies of gray. The raindrops kiss the flower beds, the blossoms raise their thirsty heads, a perfume, thank you, they seem to say.
With Joel Curtis from the National Weather Service here to explain to one of our listeners, Kathy Buell, who called up and wanted to know the difference between rain showers and sprinkles. Joel, thank you very much for being on the show with us today.
Well, yeah, it's my pleasure, Jeff. Always a fun time.
So what is the difference between all these forecasts?
Well, you just mentioned the difference between rain showers and sprinkles. First of all, when we are saying sprinkles in our forecast, we're not expecting what we call measurable rain, that the water droplets would be small and so widely dispersed that you would only feel a drop every once in a while. That's what we mean by sprinkles. Now, rain showers is a different thing. Rain showers, you would expect distinct breaks between significant rain and absolutely no rain falling at all. And when we say intermittent rain, what we mean is that we will have like an hour or two of rain and then maybe a break and then an hour or two. But showers should be short-lived, and they are what we call convective. That is, there are distinctive currents in the atmosphere. They're growing and going up, and they form water droplets very, very locally. And so one of the things we like to do with showers is use aerial terms like scattered or isolated, et cetera. Rain, on the other hand, is widespread distribution of falling raindrops.
All right, you've cleared up the mud for us a little bit. What's the forecast for this weekend?
Well, it looks like more rain. Hang on just a sec. I'm going to call her up there. Looking at Friday night, rain diminishing late. Saturday, cloudy chance of rain, so that looks like a little bit of a break for us in that have some chance that you'll get it, but at the very worst, just cloudy. And then Saturday night and Sunday, rain. So really not looking like a great weekend.
Jill Curtis from the National Weather Service, thank you so much for being on the air with me today.
You're sure welcome.
Tonight on 360 North, it's Rain Country Reflections at 8, followed at 8:30 by the Oregon Field Guide. Then join Ann Sechrist and her guests, financial advisors Cynthia Gibson and Renee Russ, as they talk about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's at 9 on AARP Alaska. And at 10, Part 3 of New England Maritime Heritage looks at the history of the first Coast Guard, the U.S. Life-Saving Service. Watch these programs and more tonight on 360 North.
Time is 3:21, and you are tuned to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Coming up next, an interview with Buddy Tabor, but first, something brand new from Buddy. Buddy? That's not Buddy, is it?
I got a voicemail. Her love was strong. Straightened him right up. He held on to her when the times got tough. He'd play his fiddle, she would dance for him. And it was stronger than his desire for him to drink again. You open up the bottle, you lay your loonies down. There's a whirlpool of whiskey, and it's spinning round and round. Another man done sunk, another man done drowned. Dawson City, Dawson City, you're a hard drinking town. For 20 years he stayed sober, walked by her side. Till the cancer came and got her, and she laid down and died. Then he put down his fiddle, and whiskey tears he did cry. He just could not go on without her walking by his side. They open up the bottle, you lay your money down. There's a whirlpool of whiskey, and it's spinning round and round. Another man done sunk, another man done drowned. Dawson City, Dawson City, you're a hard drinking town. The river she run muddy, she's running wide and deep. She don't care what you're thinking, she don't care what you drink. And if you fall in, she'll pull you right down. And when that river starts to break up, you better hit for higher ground. Every day he wakes up, she's not around. Into the whiskey river he swims until he drowns. But can't you hear her voice crying from the ground? She says, Willie, my sweet love, won't you lay that bottle down? They open up the bottle, you lay your loonies down. There's a whirlpool of whiskey, and it's spinning round and round. Another man done sunk, another man done drowned. Dawson City, Dawson City, you're a hard drinking town. Dawson City, Dawson City, you're a hard drinking town. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, buddy. Thank you for coming by. Thank you for
the new song, eh?
Thank
you for having me. Well, as you know, Alaska and the Yukon have a alcohol rate 5 times over the national average down below. So I wrote that in Dawson City.
It's actually somewhat of a true story, not counting the lies I put in, but it's mostly true.
What was the first song you wrote?
Something I'd rather not remember.
How has your songwriting changed over the years?
I don't know. It's gotten more depressing. I like depressing. Happy makes me really depressed. I don't do a lot of zippity-doo-dah. Someone else can do that. Although, there's nothing wrong with zippity-doo-dah.
How about your performing style? How has that changed?
Hopefully, once again, I hope it's gotten better. You mean like 20 years ago? I mean, I've learned tricks, you know, try to talk to an audience, try to connect, do the little things, try to say witty things.
I'm talking to Buddy Tabor. He'll be performing in concert this Saturday at 7:30 at Resurrection Lutheran Church. Been performing for a number of years to hometown fans. But when you go to a new town, how do you win those people over?
Sometimes you don't. Sometimes they talk or get up and leave, do horrible things to you. And they're like, I'll do a show in Juneau, and if the show's on, I'll get a really good response, you know, if I'm with the right people. And then I've learned to dread the next show out of town because I'm going to get my butt kicked, you know. Not all the time, but, you know, the hometown crowd is always nicer to you. So, but, you know, you just go out and do it, and it's like a piece of art hanging on the wall. You know, they either like it or they don't. So you go somewhere. I remember doing a house concert in Pagosa Springs at Bill Hudson's house, and there were these four old ladies on the front. And I did this song about the addiction of methamphetamines, and they sat there just shaking their heads violently, no, after the song, not clapping. And I said, well, get used to it. It's here. You know, that actually was another true story, too. But we won't go into that. But so, I mean, yeah, sometimes people don't like your stuff, and then sometimes people really do. They'll come up and buy everything you got.
I've been listening to you for a long time and being fortunate to have you on the other side of the microphones for me for a number of years. You always have a sense of confidence about your voice and your work.
Pardon?
You always have a sense of confidence in your voice and your work.
I try, Jeff. I try. I try to be confident. Actually, I'm not very confident, but I try very, very hard to do a good show. You don't know. It's like a diving board. You go off the end, and sometimes it's a nice dive, and sometimes it's a belly flop. Probably what I'm trying to do is learn to live with both. So that's kind of where I'm at. You know, just get up and do it. And there's certain things you can do to improve, you know, like make sure you're practiced and know the song. Most of the time I look back, I don't listen to them anymore, but I always listen to my folk festival tapes, you know, they gave you tapes, and I'd hear these horrendous performances that would just make me cringe, but I'd go back and think about it, and I thought, why was that? And most of the time I would come up with the conclusion I didn't rehearse it enough. And sometimes I just suck, but I mean, you can't help that.
I read the article in the paper this morning. You play every day, it seems like?
I do. You know, that's something I do for myself. You know that as a musician and a writer. I mean, although it helps you keep your chops up, but I do that because that's the love of the labor of love. That's what I like to do. So I always spend an hour or so if I have the time in the morning to play and practice. But that's something I do for myself. I don't really. That's my time with the music. You know, that's a very private time. You know, so it's. There's times, though, I hear things I do for myself that I wish I could do on a stage and can't do. You know, it's just a different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of songwriters, you're a very good songwriter yourself, Mr. Brown.
I'm kind of like Mike Truax, written one song, you know.
Huh?
Like Mike Truax has written one song.
Yeah, I think he's written more than one, but we won't go into that. But.
So you're performing Saturday night at 7:30 at Resurrection Lutheran Church, the corner of 10th and Glacier. With a lot of friends.
Yeah, Colette Costa's going to do a couple of my songs. She's going to MC. We have Jason Caputo on guitar. We're going to have Betsy Sims doing sound and vocal harmonies, maybe some percussions. Howard McDonald on bass. Mike Truax is going to come up and do a couple of songs of mine. And we're going to kind of mix this show up. And then John Hurdle's going to be playing with us. And... Albert and Betsy are going to sing some songs too. And then we've got Jim and Martha Stay opening, short opener. I think they're going to do about 15 minutes is what they wanted to do. So they're always a crowd pleaser.
You're also going to be featured on Muddler Exemplar on Karen in this coming up Saturday from noon until 2.
I don't think I'm going to be on 2 hours.
Well, some of that time anyway. Yeah. They could play something from one of your own 200 CDs out there.
200 CDs, yeah. We probably wouldn't want to stay on 2 hours, maybe 10 minutes.
What's your attitude towards performing these days?
What is my attitude toward performing? Depends on the atmosphere of the situation where I'm performing. I mean, you know, if it's a good place, I like it. You know, I like to perform. I probably prefer the studio better, but I'm not doing any studio work right now. I haven't in a couple of years. I like to perform.
Do you pick out the songs to play during a set like you're doing Saturday night?
Pardon?
How are you going to pick out the songs you're doing in a set like Saturday night?
Oh, how do I pick them out? I'm going to mix it up. I'm building the set around some people doing a few songs. You know, I'll do 3 or 4, and someone else will come up and do one. And maybe I'll do 3, 4 songs in a row that are major chords but not in the same positions. Then maybe the 4th song I'll drop in a minor song, you know, in a minor key to try to give it a different feel. So I'm always trying to do something that where you don't get a whole set of songs all in the same key that all sound alike. And I can do that, but I try really hard not to, where someone walks out and says, oh, you know, they all sounded alike, you know. So, but that's kind of hard when you're, oh, this isn't going to be a solo show. When I'm doing a solo show, it's hard to, you know, make them all a little different, you know. So sometimes I recite a little poetry, you know, do a 3-minute little, you know, read a little something warm and fuzzy like Charles Bukowski. I like Charles. It's nothing like, you know, being depressed and have a hard day and you curl up with a good book of poems by Charles Bukowski before you go to sleep.
Kind of like your children's album.
Exactly. So
I've been talking to Buddy Tabor. He'll be performing in concert this Saturday night, the 27th of August, from 7:30 until a couple hours at least.
Couple hours, yeah. I'd say 10:30 something.
It's a concert brought to you by the Alaska Folk Festival. Buddy, thank you so much for coming down and sharing your music.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff. I just wanted to say, too, there'll be cookies and coffees and drinks and snacks at the show, too. So have a little community time together, sharing.
Thanks, Buddy.
Thanks, Jeff.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 25th of August, 2011. 1609, on this date, Galileo Galilei demonstrated his first telescope to the Venetian Senate in Padua. He hadn't invented it. It was invented by a Dutch astronomer, Hans Lipperhey. But Galileo had figured out by trial and error how it was made, and he improved on the design. He made it variable focus, and he learned the art of glass grinding. So the telescope he presented to the Venetian Senate could magnify images to 8 times the naked eye, and soon 20 times. By the following January, he discovered 4 moons orbiting Jupiter. The Venetian Senate was so impressed, they gave him lifetime tenure at the university, and they doubled his salary. It was on this date, 1835, the New York Sun ran the first of 6 articles about civilization on the moon and strange creatures there, 2-legged beavers and bats and lush jungle vegetation that had been observed by an astronomer in Cape Town, South Africa. The articles were said to have been reprinted from the Edinburgh Journal of Science, and they were intended to be a satire, but people took them as the literal truth, and the newspaper circulation went up. And when the newspaper admitted that the articles had been a hoax, the circulation still went up. It's the anniversary of the creation of the National Park Service, 1916. First National Park was Yellowstone. It had been designated 44 years before. The number of parks and national monuments was growing. The question was, who should manage them? And the Park Service was created. The first director was Stephen T. Mather, a naturalist and industrialist. He established concession sales in the parks, created the National Park-to-Park Highway, and worked with railroads to make the parks more accessible. Park Service now employs about 22,000 civil servants to oversee almost 400 units, covering 84 million acres. It's the birthday of the novelist Brian Moore, born Belfast, 1921. Graham Greene once described him as my favorite living author. Moved to Canada in 1948, started working for a newspaper in Montreal, then went to writing novels. His first book came out in 1955, The Lonely Passion of Judith Hearn. Moved to New York, then to California. Some of his books were adapted for movies. He wrote screenplays, too. Wrote the screenplay for the Alfred Hitchcock movie, Torn Curtain. He said it was an awful ordeal, like washing floors. And it's the birthday of Martin Amis, born in Oxford, 1949, author of the novel Money, about a man named John Self, who directs TV commercials, wants to make a movie, winds up collaborating with a mysterious writer named Martin Amis, who seems to know everything about Self's life. Here's a little poem for today, a poem by Robert Hass. Chester found a dozen copies of his first novel in a used bookstore and took them to the counter. The owner said, "You can't have them all." So Chester kept five. The owner said, "That'll be $112. Chester said, "What?" And the guy said, "They're first editions, Mac. $20 apiece." And so Chester said, "Why are you charging me $112? The guy said, "Three of them are autographed." Chester said, "Look, I wrote this book." The guy said, "All right, $100. I won't charge you for the autographs." A poem by Robert Hass from a longer poem, Praise, published by Echo Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. You can read the current issue of Poetry or listen to the monthly editor's podcast at poetryfoundation.org, produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
Time is 3:37, and you are tuned in to KTUO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guests are Darren Jensen and also Ashley Johnston from the Alaska Brewing Company here to talk about their brand new beer. Thank you very much for coming down the station, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So 25 years also you're celebrating, aren't you?
That's right.
How did it all start? I'm assuming you weren't there at the time.
I wasn't, but I know the story well and can share it a little bit. Marcy and Jeff Larson, both from back east, but like many people that end up in Juneau, they came up to Glacier Bay to work for a season, and that season has since lasted, I think, over 30 years now.
Yeah.
They were living and working in Juneau, there came a time in their lives where the joke amongst their friends that they should start a brewery with their homebrew just seemed like the right thing to do. It was in 85 or so when they really started getting serious about it in the midst of a recession, economy. They went around to the local banks and asked for money to start a capital-intensive business in a small town with no roads going in or out, and were politely declined, but ended up being for their benefit. They crisscrossed the entire state of Alaska and found 88 people willing to invest in their crazy dream to start a brewery in Juneau, and which has made it the very community-based brewery that it is today.
About $5,000 is what it took to buy a share?
Yeah, yep. Or you could split the $5,000 between a couple people. So there's definitely no big major investors in the company.
Keep on knocking myself in the head thinking, I should have done it back then.
Yeah, if I had a nickel for every time somebody said that.
Exactly, yeah.
How many beers have you brewed in the past 25 years?
That is a good question.
That's a great question.
Right now we have about one beer a week coming off our kind of pilot one-barrel series, or our one barrel system. And those are kind of just one-offs, but I'm sure we've done 200-300 different varieties of beer from that brewery.
Are you the quality control specialist?
I am.
Must be fun. Imagine if you had a nickel for every time somebody wanted your job.
Yeah, I'm humbled. Yeah, it's a great job. We kind of are the science behind the beer, and we do a lot of testing in the lab. We have machines up there that can check for bitterness, alcohol, color. We also test for other compounds, and we do a daily taste panel every day at 10:30.
So that's the time to be there.
That's when the lab's the most busiest.
What are the challenges of operating a Juneau-based business when you have to deal with shipping in and shipping out materials?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Yeah, if you think about it, just like you said, all of our raw materials, malt, hops, bottles, cardboard,
caps,
everything has to come up by barge from Seattle. Pretty much every other brewery in the country gets their raw materials delivered to their back gate. Our suppliers will get it to Seattle, and then we have to figure out how to get it the rest of the way. But not only that, then all of our finished product that doesn't stay here in Juneau, and our waste, our spent grain, and anything that we can't. That we can't reuse or dispose of locally has to go out the same way as well. But after doing it for 25 years, we've figured out some pretty creative ways to mitigate that.
Yeah.
For example, for a short time, we were actually shipping CO2. It's CO2 gas is used to purge bottles and kegs of oxygen, which can be detrimental to your beer. And it's a necessary part of the brewing process. And we were having to ship it from Seattle, which just wasn't working for us. So we installed a CO2 reclamation system. We were the first craft brewery in the country to do that, just because it made a whole lot more sense for us here in Juneau.
Yeah.
And don't you give some of your spent materials to the community garden as well?
We do. Yeah. That was actually, the community garden was a great place for our spent grain when we first started, but we quickly exceeded their capacity and had kind of buried the community garden.
Two loads worth from the 100-barrel system, and I think they're still using that particular batch.
What about the challenges of remaining a small-town business as you're moving on into ever-expanding futures like Wisconsin?
I think, you know, Juneau makes it easy. Juneau is such a wonderful little microcosm that has been such a good home for us, and we love being a part of everything from, here at the radio station. And I don't know, it's a whole lot of fun, and it's great to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, coming up this first part of September, you're having a grand opening of another kind of beer called Perseverance. It's a Russian ale.
Russian Imperial Stout.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that, please? How did that develop?
This is really kind of a unique beer because it took over a year to develop. We kind of came up with a base style that we were interested in. and the process to make this beer what it is today was also really fun, where we would have more of a round table. We would have somebody brew a batch, a version of the Russian Imperial Stout on the one barrel. And when it was finished, we would taste it. We'd have a round table of people, 8 to 10 people. We would talk about it. Everybody had an opinion. And we would say it needs more dark malt, or it needs less dark malt. It needs more sweetness, less sweetness. We'd brew another batch, and then we'd reconvene and do the same thing. So we did that probably 6 or 7 versions of the one barrel and came out with what we knew was going to be the winner. We're all really proud of this beer, and we're all very confident that it's a beer that we all had a say at some point of the process, and we're just all really proud, and we're just glad to finally get it in the bottle.
Yeah, we've been talking about this
for over
a year now. We initially set out, and when we thought about our anniversary, we said, you know, we wanted to create this beer that embodied everything that we love about Alaskan Brewing Company. So we use local ingredients, birch syrup from Wasilla. It's raw birch syrup, fireweed honey from Delta Junction, and then some alder smoked malt that is the signature flavor and quality of our smoke porter that we've become known for.
Yeah.
When is the first opportunity for the public to get a sample of this?
September 1st.
Yep.
Where's that going to be?
Big day, probably at the brewery, I guess.
Yeah, tasting room opens at 11 o'clock on September 1st. And yeah. If it's anything like our raspberry wheat, we sold out of raspberry wheat at the brewery in the first day. I'd recommend coming out there. But in addition to being at the brewery, it'll be all over town at the local liquor stores. And so watch for it, yeah.
Yeah.
So we've invited Nancy DeJourney to come in here and do a little sampling herself.
Welcome.
People coming in. Yeah, yeah. It's our Russian Imperial Stout.
So, I guess there's a special sound when you open that on the air?
Hopefully.
Well, it's going to sound like keys because my bottle opener's on a keychain.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Nice. Yes. So, yeah, as Ashley is saying, this particular beer was also no cutting corners at all. So there's some 12 different varieties of malt in this beer alone.
It looks like it's a very thick stuff.
With the addition of birch syrup. And birch syrup is really, really unique in itself. And then the fireweed honey, which was termed liquid gold. And it was really kind of a fun process to logistically get those products here, but also support also other Alaska communities and businesses as well.
So what am I tasting here?
Okay, so you got the swirl, and I'm sure you already sniffed it. So you're getting more of these beers generally are termed like with a molasses, kind of a roasty, sweet, more thicker, some wood notes. There should be a light smoke aroma because we do use some of the smoke malt in this.
Mm-hmm. Just a dash of that smoked porter malt. And what I love about this beer, personally, is the creamy mouthfeel. It's silky almost. It's really delicious. I should tell you while you're drinking this that it is 9% alcohol, which is very small samples. But
yeah,
it's also a great beer. We're definitely enjoying it fresh right now, but it'll be a great beer for what we call cellaring, like you would wine. Put it down for a year or two or 10 and see what brings
out. We'll see what happens. Yeah, that's what's kind of fun with this one. We don't really know how this one will age. My guess is going to age pretty well. I have a feeling it's probably not going to age like as long as our smoked porter, but I would love to be proved wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the fun of this.
Cool looking bottle with the graphic design as well.
Yeah, that was...
That's actually an old photo of an old the City Brewery, which was here downtown. And behind it is Mount Roberts and Mount Juno and what would be the Perseverance Trail behind it. This beer is steeped in history with, we chose the Russian Imperial Stout style because of Alaska's Russian roots, and we chose the name just as an homage to Juno's mining roots and how much we all enjoy the Perseverance Trail, but also kind of, representative of what it's taken to operate a brewery here in Juneau for the last 25 years and how we've come out at the end.
And the spirit, the Alaskan spirit, that perseverance, how we kind of live here. We have to persevere to, it's a challenging place to live, but the rewards are worth it.
Such as the new beer that you're serving us now.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Terry Jensen and Ashley Johnston, for coming by and sharing your beer and a little bit of words about the Alaska Brewing Company.
You're welcome.
Oh my.
Masque of Dead Man Winter, which is next door at the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, Juno Arts and Culture Center, getting ready for the concert tonight as benefit for Trail Mix.
Support comes from listeners like you and from the Juno Artist Gallery, a cooperative featuring the work of over 25 local artists and artisans. The Juno Artist Gallery is open year-round and daily during the summer, located downtown in the Senate Building.
And Nancy DeJourney, what's going on besides you having a little sample of that new Alaskan beer?
Well, let's just, you know, that was fine. Let's maybe we should stop there, Jeff. Well, as you mentioned, we've got Dead Man Walking, the Land
Dead Man Winter.
Dead Man Winter, sorry, I did that again. So I've been making a lot of those mistakes today. Anyway, Land Locally does these fundraisers. This one is for Trail Mix, and as you mentioned, they are over there right now getting warmed up. It's going to be a fabulous evening. I love the way they always set the jack up so it goes out the garage door. So if you live up on the hill, you're going to hear this one tonight. So I hope you enjoy it. It's going to be great. Tickets are available at the jack. I think the online ticketing is back up and will be available until an hour before the show. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Tickets are not available at the bookstore, so don't go there. But you can give us a call at the jack and we'll get you a ticket. Tomorrow, it's the usual Kimball Organ Concert with J. Allen McKinnon at noon at the State Office Building. We got Tom Loker and Wayne Norlin up at the Timberline Lodge. We got Adult Hip Hop at 6:30 at the Canvas. Dan Hobson's doing classical guitar at the Gold Room. And Nickelodeon is showing Names of Love and the Warriors. So it's quiet, kind of a quiet Friday, I think. There must be something going on that somebody didn't tell me about. But it's good because Saturday morning you got to get up bright and early.
There's a football game.
A football game. Oh, okay.
Crimson Bears, I think, are playing Anchorage.
Excellent. And that's why it's going to rain, I suppose. Saturday, on the other hand, it's going to be a glorious day, and you're going to be up at 8 o'clock out at the Riverbend School Covered Playground for the Men's Prostate Cancer 5K Run. This is sponsored by the Roadrunners. The men's are at 8, and the women's is at, I think, 9 o'clock, same place. If you want more information about the men's, give it a call at 789-9193. Also at 8:30, if you are interested in being a coach for Girls on the Run, this is some AWARE training. That's happening at 8:30, 586-6623 for more information about that. Also, if you're not running, the Women's Beat the Odds 5K Race Against Breast Cancer, which starts at 9 o'clock out at the Riverbend School, come on down to the Jack, where we're having the fourth annual, I can't believe that this is the fourth annual, food festival at the Jack.
It happens when you get older, things go by so much
quicker. You know, 25 years they've had beer? Are you kidding? Didn't they just open? So anyway, food festival at the Jack. This is the one where we have workshops, and I understand there's a workshop on raising chickens. There's going to be a workshop on all kinds of things, growing broccolis and making a root cellar. There's going to be a goat there. We bring in all kinds of different produces, somebody coming with fresh tomatoes that she's grown locally. So come on down. It's lots of fun, 9 to 2. And this will be the last of the farmers markets that we're going to hold. On Sunday, there's one out at the community gardens. It's their harvest fair, and we'll talk about that in a minute. At 10 o'clock, Tots in Motion over at the Canvas parking lot. Bring your kids ages 2 to 6 with clothes that you don't mind them getting dirty in, and bring yourself as a parent, and you can mess around. I think it's finger painting and stuff. 11 o'clock, it's Pony Rides as a benefit for the 4-H out at Swampy Acres. This is for kids ages 2 to 18, costs $2 a ride or $5 for 3 rides. You can get more information about that. Go to our website or K2's website and check the calendar that has the email list or the email address. Kids Day at the Glacier at 11 for kids ages 4 to 6. The Nickelodeon continues its children's film series with Sitta Sings the Blues at 2 o'clock. 4 o'clock, it's Conan O'Brien Can't Stop. At 5 o'clock, Helping Hands, dinner and live auction out at the Valley Chapel. That you can get tickets by calling 789-4390 or get them at the door. Tom Loker and Wayne Norlin again up at the TK McGuire's. We have a special treat on Saturday. We have Marion Call. She's in concert at the Rookery. This is at 7 o'clock. There's a suggested donation of $5 to $10. I'm really excited to hear her. She's been trying to drum up bringing musicians from all over the state. She herself is from Anchorage, and I'm looking forward to this.
I think you should Google her name, Marion Call, and just check out some of the videos she's got. It's pretty fantastic fun.
Yeah. So anyway, that's on Saturday at 7 at the Rookery. It's sort of a small space, so you better get there early. Names of Love at Nickelodeon. At 9 o'clock, there's something called the Super, Super Cool Dance Party at the Hangar. It's free, and you must be 21 to attend. Sounds like there's going to be DJ music and lots of fun. That's what they say. Latin Dance over at Latinos at 9 o'clock. On Sunday, the Canvas has a lot of classes. They're doing their parent and kid clay class at 10, as well as their fairy houses workshop. That was looking interesting. And at 11:30, it's the Community Garden Harvest Fair out at Montana Creek Road. They have produce, there's free events, there's tours, there's games, including chicken bingo, which I really want to know what is. Do you guys know what chicken bingo? What is it?
They feed the chickens, and then they let them do their thing on little spots, and if you pick the right spot, then you win.
Excellent. Takes a lot of, okay, well, very good then.
You thought you were going to try to get me to say poop on the air. I'm not going to.
I wouldn't think of it. Okay, so, and then at 2 o'clock at the Canvas, they're showing Between the Folds. It's a documentary about origami, and then there'll be a little workshop on doing origami. Gold Town Nickelodeon is showing Daylight, and then they do the Names of Love, I guess, again. There's Kids Marimba over at the Canvas. The Canvas has a lot of stuff going on. It's really hard to keep up with them. At 4:45, the Women's Hockey Clinic over at the Treadwell Arena. $5 for ice time, $2 to rent some skates. If you are interested in 18, if this is for women 18 or older, you can give Jilly. I think it would be best if you just went to the website and got the email address off of the calendar. They also have the Raku workshop over at the Canvas at 6 o'clock, and there's international folk dancing and ballroom dancing at the Downtown Racquetball Club. On Monday, kindergartners go back to school, or I guess they don't go back to school. They start school on Monday. At noon, it's the Toastmasters over at the Federal Building. At 5:15, it's an arts roundtable, our monthly end-of-the-month roundtable, where we're going to talk this month, I think, about advertising and also about insurance issues as related to the arts. At 6 o'clock, there's the Capoeira workshop over at the Canvas, and the Gold Town starts showing Last Mountain. At noon on Tuesday, there's your haiku opportunities again. There's swing dance lessons at 6:30, and at 7 o'clock, the Marie Drake Planetarium is having their retro sci-fi film, The Day the Earth Stood Still. I don't remember what year that's from, but you can head all on over. They also show the sky, the night sky. And then we have on Wednesday at 6:30 the Statewide Transportation Improvement Program meeting, which is sponsored by DOT, wanting to know how you want to travel around in Southeast. It's the Mendenhall Library, 586-1776.
All right, Nancy DeTune, if anybody missed any of those events or want to catch some more, check out your website at www.jahc.org.
Or yours.
GTUO.org. Nancy DeTourney, thank you for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You're tuned to KTUO in Juneau. It is just about 4 o'clock. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTUO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Ock Bay area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. The Stavis listens on K201 AM 88.1. K220 BT Sarasuna at 91.9. Excursion Inlet and IC Strait here, KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. Also live online at www.ktoo.org. Coming up tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon, we'll talk about the Big Brothers Big Sisters School Mentoring Program. We'll talk to Tim Sheehan, Carver, April Ryan about his demonstrations at the Alaska State Museum this weekend. We'll talk to singer-songwriter and nerd Marion Call about her concerts on Saturday night at the Rookery. We'll talk to Diva with Francis Field from the Juneau Lyric Opera. at Red's Almanac Music tomorrow at 3 on a Juno afternoon. Coming up next is All Things Considered. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno afternoon tonight.